Welcome to the Fort Polk Podcast. In this episode, we're taking a deep dive into OPSEC, or operational security. OPSEC is all about common sense security measures that protect our sensitive information from getting into the wrong hands. January is OPSEC month at Fort Polk, which means we are taking a closer look to make sure everyone understands just how important OPSEC is to keep us safe. Today's guests are Mike Guajardo and Sherry Johnson, and they are security experts here at Fort Polk. So join us as we explore operational security. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening to this podcast, because I am happy that you are actually listening. And I just wanted to welcome our guests, Mike and Sherry. Hey, how's it going?
How's it going?
Man, well, I got your mics turned on and everything. I'm awesome. Just on top of things today. So operational security, you know, I used to do income briefs or newcomers briefings, and OPSEC was one of the things that I would brief on, because it's like some of the simplest things about operational security are some of the most overlooked. Like, hey, my husband's coming home today at Alexandria with his group, with his troops and all that stuff. He'll be there. Yeah, I can't wait for him to see him. I'm leaving now so I could go pick him up at 4. What, it's like, you know, you really don't want to say things like that because you're not the only one listening and you're not the only one looking at your Facebook account. And I would always tell him, it's like, don't advertise troop movements, because no one wants to know when you're having a movement.
Right. Absolutely.
And nobody got my joke.
Yeah. A movement. I got you.
It's like nobody wants to know a movement.
Yeah.
Come on. Anyway, so Mike, you work over at DPTMS.
That's correct.
And you are a security expert on OPSEC.
I wouldn't say expert, but so definitely.
Why aren't you teaching the OPSEC 2 courses?
Well, that's because they like to bring in outside experts that have a lot more experience when they travel around with different installations and they get...
But it takes too long to get a class going here.
It does.
I have to run the website, and everyone that actually has publishing rights on the website has to have the OPSEC 2 course. And for somebody like me with ADHD and can't write and all this stuff, that's a hard course, because the final question is an essay question.
That's correct.
And I've never been good at essays, and that's why I don't like going back to college for gen ed.
No, it's very important that I think that it's very good that they have these guys come over here, because, again, I think it brings a lot of different perspective than just ours from Fort Polk. You know, you got these guys that are traveling, these teams that travel around and go to different installations and pick up other things that they can share with the class.
It was a really good course. Really was. And I learned a lot. And now I can be an OPSEC officer.
That's correct.
But I'm not. I'm just a webmaster. I'm a master of the web, the internet, yeah. The interwebs. And Sherry, you are a specialist, a tech special security expert. And... I wouldn't say tech.
There's a big short between the seat and the keyboard.
Sometimes I get all tongue-tied when I'm trying to talk, because I talk way too fast. It's like I have to slow my breathing and my talking down. And are you with DPTMS also?
Okay. I am. Yes.
Yeah, because I was looking at your signatures, and I don't think yours is in there. Or in your. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what is your main job to do with OPSEC and the like?
Well, a big part of what we do is, as you mentioned, as far as social media, is kind of seeing what's going on and listening to hear what people are talking about.
Are you out there stalking the social media sites and stuff?
She does.
Oh, I was wondering who that was all over my site.
Yeah, that's me.
It's like a hobby of hers.
Oh, okay. It's like, I'm looking at you through the bedroom window. It's like,
yeah,
oh, Sherry,
is that you?
Sherry, get out of my yard. So you're over there. So you're monitoring social media and the internet and all that stuff to see what's going on.
Yes.
And there's some things that a lot of people don't even realize are OPSEC violations. And one of them is this new CUI, which people don't understand what CUI is. There used to be classified and then all these different ratings, but classified would be for one branch and then another branch would call it something else and another branch would call it something else. So they just brought it all under and they said controlled unclassified information or CUI CUI.
Right.
So now that's all over everything. And if you have something that says CUI, you can't put that out on the internet.
That's correct. Correct.
It is not for release. You have to make sure that it goes through the right channels and it doesn't have it. And that's one of my biggest things that I have to do when publishing the website is to make sure that we don't have any CUI, which is just, I like the word CUI. Hey. What you doing? Nothing, cooey.
Never quite heard it say like that, but
what, cooey?
Yeah, no, it's kind of catchy, isn't it?
I had to think for a minute. What is he talking about?
Well, that's why I explain it. Yeah. We try to stay away from acronyms and initialisms.
Right.
And people don't know the difference between acronyms and initialisms, but that's a different point. And cooey, I don't know. I've always said cooey.
I like it.
It's not called CUI?
I've just never said it that way.
I'm saying really something. What do you
CUI.
Oh, CUI.
CUI. That's it.
No, I don't like that. That's an initialism. CUI is an acronym.
I think it's just part of our environment, our world. You know,
right.
Yeah, I'm more into speed and talking fast, and I can't say be up here going like CUI. It's like watching a foreign film.
Right? Subtitles.
It's like, blah, 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 Jeff, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I know they're talking about me. So we've got all the OPSEC and January, even though it's the end of January, it's still considered OPSEC month.
That's correct.
And even though we should be practicing OPSEC year round, and some of the other things, I don't even know. There's just so many things that people want to put out on social media, and a lot of it, that's my biggest problem is with people and their social media accounts, like just saying too much. I don't know if it's OPSEC or not, but I know it's, I am positive that it is empathy when if somebody dies and then everybody out there wants to be the first one to spread the word. And it's like, you don't want to spread. The last thing you want to hear is that somebody you love died on the internet.
Exactly.
You want to wait until the family is notified first. Let them experience, or, you know, whatever. Just that's the hardest one. I don't know if that is OPSEC or not, but it is. It is one of my pet peeves.
No, and it's very important with that, considering that type of event, especially when your loved one is deployed and you hear about that through social media. I mean, some of the good commanders that I've deployed with immediately put out the requirement not to discuss this until, you know, they've been notified appropriately and stay off your phone or stay out of the internet cafes, so that they can do it, you know, accordingly and not through social media.
Yeah, it's just like releases, press releases. They're all the same. It's like until next of kin has been notified, and it just breaks my heart when things like that happen. And not to mention, you have to worry about the rumor mills and spreading incorrect information.
Correct. Right.
Like when Chuck Norris died and everyone's sitting there saying RIP Chuck Norris and all that stuff. And it's like, he comes onto the internet and says, I'm still alive.
Yeah. A lot of those social fake deaths that they like to put
yeah.
out there. Right?
It's yeah. like Chuck Norris died and kicked his butt and came back.
Well, another thing is that people don't think about when they try to post those items, whether or not they have good intentions or not, is it creates a vulnerability of where our troops are and things like that. So they need to be cognizant of those things as well.
Ooh, big word. Cognizant. Let me get my dictionary out.
Not bad for a girl from Rose Pine.
Not bad. So we got OPSEC. It's also known as procedural security, which there's so many words and so many same things. You know, it's just they all say the same things. And it was OPSEC, even it's they say procedural security, OPSEC security was invented or designed during the Vietnam War. But yet I can see posters from World War II saying loose lips sink ships, right, which is OPSEC.
Right.
And correct.
I mean, everyone's heard of that. Now, the like I said earlier, if you can see somebody's profile or information, or if you can hear it, other people can. And that's one of the big things for that's the main big thing for especially social media about OPSEC is you're not the only one listening, or you're not the only one seeing this. And if you can see it, someone else can see it. And if someone else can see it, then they can send it to somebody else that hasn't seen it yet.
And that's one of the, you know, the biggest challenges that I think any organization, whether it's military, Department of Defense, or any commercial environment, is that, you know, once it's put out there, it's out there. You know, you can't pull it back, even though you want to.
So. Oh, yeah, you can. You can. I think the kids nowadays know about that stuff now. It's
right.
Like once that picture's out there, it's out there forever. Right. You can't take it off. The now there's other parts of OPSEC to do with like I was teasing you a little earlier about the technical part, but IT is a big OPSEC kind of thing. What what are some examples of the IT OPSEC stuff?
I think everybody sees it. The first thing that when they log in, you already have a disclaimer that's sitting there on the computer. If you log into it, you also have banners that are there just to remind the user that, hey, some of this information, you know, should be considered, you know, whether or not it's sensitive or not, before you send out an email or before you have a conversation, or even if somebody's sitting in your office that doesn't work there, that we have lots of identifiers on the computer to remind us that, hey, try to think of this when you're having a conversation.
I call that shoulder surfing. It's like, hey, what's that? It's like,
well, nowadays we got 25, 27 inch monitors. It's kind of hard to cover that.
Oh, those are still small. I've got 55 and 80 inch. Yeah.
Exactly.
I just hook up my TV to the, we're going backwards now. It's like we used to have the Atari hooked up to the TV. You have to change it to channel 3 and then flip a switch in the back and you can play your games. Now we went to, you have to have a computer monitor and you can only plug a computer monitor into a computer. Now we're back to being able to plug it into TVs.
Right.
And now we can have a 55-inch 4K monitor right there in front of you, and it's just like a giant screen TV where... Now I threw myself off there.
You're talking about IT.
Oh, IT, that's right.
But where he was picking up, you know, it's like all these banners. You also have to consider, in our world, we have what we call a need to know. So you should really think about some of those things. Does somebody really need to know this amount of details for information? So a lot of your posts, like, for example, y'all's, and other organizations and units that are on Fort Polk, what they post onto social media is vetted prior to. But a regular Jane Doe out in the community posts what they want to say. And it's not really always vetted. So that's always something to consider.
Yeah, that's the rumor mill. And rumors travel at the speed of light. It's like you could tell a truth out there and a rumor out there, and the rumor will make it around the world three times before the truth makes it to the first person.
Exactly.
I noticed it today a lot, especially with the younger generation, is that social media is almost their source of information. And, you know, I always challenge my children to say, hey, you know, but how reliable is that? You know, you're looking to find out what's really going on, but in fact, there could be a complete opposite story to that. So somebody's putting information out there that may not be completely factual. And it's interesting to see how kids rely on that sort of thing to get their facts or their information before they go looking for it.
And I'm always trying to figure out what the next big social media is. I'm stuck on Facebook because I'm old and that's what old people do nowadays, apparently. I'm getting to the point where I'm just going to go back to MySpace. Forget it. There's too many new things out there. But now we've got Snapchat, which it shows up and then it disappears.
TikTok,
which I won't even get into because we're not even supposed to be using that, and for good reasons. Have you seen the thing that you have to click the agreement? It's like, you agree that you will be monitored all the time and we'll figure out everything you're doing and where you are and what your interests are and who you're talking to. No, thank you.
And some of these things actually track you too as well.
Yeah. Like
where you're going and your device and if it's on, and even you can even know how much power a person's cell phone has on it. And text them and say, hey, your battery's at 10%. just in case you wanted to know.
Oh, hey, thank you. Yeah. How did it get out of my head?
Terms of agreement.
Terms of agreement. It's like there's an episode of South Park about the terms of agreement. It's like nobody reads that. It's like it's. Oh, you don't want to know. Yeah. You don't want to know what you agreed to. But there is one of the words that you guys like to use is robust security. But that's just not about information and right. Other physical or personnel. What exactly, or give me a general idea of some of the things that OPSEC can include. And, you know, cybersecurity and right. industrial espionage. I know of that one.
Right. And then, of course, you know, what Sherry and I do as well as personnel security. I mean, that's a part of OPSEC. If you think about how we're introducing an individual into the system of checking to see, you know, how their background is, because we want to see if these people are trustworthy. So OPSEC, personnel security plays a part in OPSEC because we vet individuals before we either allow them on the installation or we're going to provide them with a clearance, you know, in the name of, on behalf of the government. So personnel security plays a huge part in that as well.
Yeah, don't try going through that gate if you have a warrant.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It's like,
and there's another great example of what operation security is, the guards and the checks that we do before.
Yeah, they do a great job out there. They really do. It's like, I'm impressed. And I always thank them. Well, I like to try to thank them, but they don't always listen. They say, oh, right, here comes Jeff again. So.
That, and by the word robust, I think what was intended by that statement is that you can have a large physical presence or a technical presence of security, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to protect you operationally, because the greatest, you know, weakness that we have is the individual, the insider, the person who knows that humans, we're our greatest threat to any kind of security. So by having the most robust, it doesn't really, you know, give you that sense that you're going to completely avoid something happening.
And that's one of the biggest weaknesses that I can see is it's not the information that you give out. It's something or something that you mention might not be sensitive or that much. But if you put out that and then somebody else puts out something else and then somebody puts out something else, somebody that's paying attention, you know, whose job it is out there to try to do this, or somebody else like me, because I do it all the time. It's like, wait a minute, if you're A and you're B and you're C, I could put all those together and I can tell what, where, when. It's just amazing that people don't think that, because, oh, I didn't say when they were coming home.
Right.
I just said, I can't wait for him to come home soon. And then I hear somebody else say, oh, yeah, I've got to drive the bus out to the airport to pick up a bunch of guys. And I was like, okay, well, hey, man, can you come over this weekend? No, I'm busy. I'll be working this weekend for something. It's like, okay, so you're not only coming in on Saturday, but you'll be in a bus and there'll be a bunch of you together. And all I have to do is sit by the roadside.
Right. That's it.
Exactly. I mean, that's why they even coined it OPSEC in Vietnam, is because they realized that all these little pieces of information were being put together, and then that puzzle creates the picture of what's going on.
Right. And you see that a lot. Even, and again, it goes back to social media, because when you do look up OPSEC, that is one of the first things that does come up is social media and our ability to put information out there. And like you said, Jeff, you know, I can just say, hey, that I'm going into work on Saturday. And the next person on Facebook goes, yeah, I'll be there till late. And you start collecting that information together, and you can basically paint yourself a picture or an idea of what's going on.
Yep, and nobody wants the end results of some nefarious people out there. And there are some mean people out there and some evil people. Evil exists.
It does.
Especially in our line of work, because we're not friends with everybody.
Very true.
So as a operational specialist or security specialist, your job is to raise awareness.
That's correct.
Of these types of things. And what are some of the examples that you would like to raise awareness about?
Well, with OPSEC, I think, you know, we like to just, you know, tell the public or the community that we do a lot of training here. So be cognizant of, you know, talking about certain things that involve training and who's coming and when they're going to be here, because that's obviously our biggest mission here in Fort Polk, is to train soldiers to get ready to deploy.
Yeah, the JRTC is pretty important.
And, you know, keep in mind of where it is that you're having these discussions, like not in the PX or in the Shopette or hanging out at the, you know, Dunkin'
Walmart.
Donuts. Yeah. And also, right, very true, in public as well, because that information could be very sensitive for that unit or organization that's coming here. So,
and it's like, now we've got CUI, mm-hmm. which takes all the classified and all that stuff, but there's other parts, there's other classifications like FOUO, which is for official use only.
No, that's gone. That's what CUI replaced.
And so so all of these little things have been replaced with CUI.
That's
so it's correct. All under a giant umbrella, and that's good. Now, the other parts, there's other things like what is it, the release, public release, or 1976 was...
Freedom of Information Act.
That's it. Yes, yeah. Which is really sad because I know the date, but I don't know the name. It's like, it happened in 76. So all of that falls under...
Well, it can.
Yeah, it can.
It can. It, you know, when we teach the class or when I briefed it, you know, we don't try to make the information fit into a category that CUI covers, right? We just need...
It's going to stick.
Yeah, it is.
I know.
It's going to stick.
Well, and so what we like to do when we train our population or give a briefing, we just like to let them know that, hey, when you handle information, you have the ability to go and look and read the category and determine whether or not it needs to be. Because not all information needs to be CUI. It just needs to be vetted and ensured that it's not.
Now, there's OPSEC should be done as not as a conscious thing, in my opinion. I don't think OPSEC should just be used as a conscious thing that we should all pay attention to. It should come second nature.
Right.
It really should. I mean, if we put it into practice enough, it'll become a habit, and then it's less of a problem that we don't have to worry about all the time because we are consistently on top of OPSEC. So you don't say certain things. And what I've noticed is just because someone has the right to know, it doesn't mean they need to know it.
That's correct.
It's like, I have a top secret clearance. It's like, yeah, but.
Right.
That's a need to know.
There's also the need to know, because we can find ourselves in a very bad situation where somebody uses, whether it's their clearance or rank or grade, it doesn't really matter. It really comes down to, do you have both? Do you have a need to know? Are you going to, this is part of your job. Do you need to know this because of your work or something? So yeah, it's definitely.
See, I have to change my position title to busybody, know it all kind of stuff. It's like, do you need to know? Yes, I do. Why? It's part of my job. Sherry, you got to stop talking so much. We can't get a word in edgewise around
right?
you. I know, right? So what is your biggest issue with trying to get training people for OPSEC? What do you find to be the biggest problem?
Not taking it seriously.
Absolutely. I could agree with that.
Yeah, I think if they actually... Like, I agree with you as far as what you said a while ago, it should be a unconscious effort. However, it has to be that conscious effort first for it to become that routine of an unconscious effort.
You do it enough and it becomes a habit.
Correct.
And habits are hard to break, whether they're good or bad. And I prefer to have good habits. And I'm a creature of habit. So I go through the same things. And that's another problem that I have because I do the same thing all the time. That could become a problem,
right,
with OPSEC.
Exactly.
Because they will know, or people will know, that you leave your house this time, you go down this road this time, and you're over here at this time, and you right. do this, and at this moment in time, you should have this much information. And there are so many situations out there that I see that people don't even think about. It's like, hey, like it was brought up, a scenario. It's like, okay, this guy off post would like to get a copy of the newspaper, And it's like, okay, well, I don't have a problem. It's like, yeah, but I can't get on post. So can you just bring me a newspaper? Yeah, no problem. It's like, yeah, just to make sure that it's protected from the weather and stuff, just put it in an envelope. And so I go out there and I hand him this envelope while he's got somebody across the street taking pictures of me handing this guy an envelope. And now all of a sudden he's got...
Perception.
It's perception. Right. Yeah, it's all perceived as I just handed him some kind of secrets. Now they're blackmailing me. It's like, well, if you don't, we'll release these pictures. And like, well, it was a newspaper. Yeah. Then why was it in an envelope? Well, he asked me to put it in an envelope. Well, then why was he paying you? Well, it's delivery charge.
Right. And that's the big thing. A picture with no words just leaves it open for interpretation. And, you know, with not fully understanding that situation, someone can easily interpret that as a nefarious act of some sort because they know you work on post and that gentleman does not, right?
Yep.
So
I mean, all this training that we go through, I mean, a lot of it just blends into one big old, it's like, well, no, that's not this, but that's that. And, you know, you do have to know this, but not for this reason. And I get all of mine mixed up. And it's like, well, I know I'm not supposed to do that, but I don't know if it's because of OPSEC or if it's because of strategic moves or is it because of blackmail or anti-terrorism or
exactly. I'm sorry. When you bring that part up, like not everything is just social media. I mean, your LinkedIn account can make you a huge vulnerability because you list all the experience of things that you've had. So people have to think just a little bit bigger, not go outside the box. Don't think of your standard stuff.
You know, there's pros and cons to, you know, putting information out like that. But, you know, and then, of course, who's looking at it? Because you do, and you probably know, you'll get information or you'll get emails from people that, hey, I saw this on your profile. I'm interested. And then start calling you and start, you know, harassing you.
Yeah, kind of like phishing.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Email. Yeah. Email, phishing, whaling,
right.
Harpooning, spear phishing. I've got all these words for it, and it all goes through all of that training. Yep. They'll send you something or they'll make it look like somebody else. And I have to tell all of my other friends and all of family, especially family, because, you know, I'm the technical person
right.
in the family and they aren't. And they'll say, I got this email and I look at it. And it's like, No, it's not. I got this email from PayPal.
Or text. And,
yeah.
Yeah, the text.
The text from taxes. You get a text from AT&T per se, but, you know, it's a really funky number that's sitting on your phone. And you're like,
exactly.
Hey, click this link and provide us your account information so that we can help fix your account.
There's some videos that you might like on YouTube. It's this guy that scams the scammers. So they'll call him up. Yeah. They'll call him up and they'll say, we need access to your computer.
Well, they're getting so good that, you know, from emails to text messages now, they have a lot of stuff, what they call deep fakes, where somebody on the phone will call you and it sounds exactly like somebody you think you know, and it's not. And they're asking, you know, for help or an address or, you know, money or something like that. And they do a very good job of it, of, you know, impersonating.
Well, that's not good.
No, it's not. And that technology has been out for quite some time. And you can see memes of like that where an individual sounds like another one. And it's to the person who doesn't know any better, it sounds just like them.
That and robocalling. I mean, robocalling is huge.
I hate those things.
Right? And then you're like, did you call me? No, it's because it's a robocall.
Yeah, I've gotten people calling me back.
Exactly.
Saying, hey, you just called me saying that it's like, no. And I have to explain to him. It's like, no, that was a spoofed number. Mm-hmm. Somebody was trying to scam you. I guarantee it was not me that called you. Just ignore the last call and do not answer any phone call from my number again, because it's not me and I don't know you.
Right.
It's like, hey, man, I'm in jail. I need some help. Can you send me gift certificate? No, I'm not paying the IRS in gift certificates.
Or you've seen a lot of Facebook accounts get, you know, taken.
Oh,
and then, you know, of course, they're going to reply to the contact list and say, hey, I need help. I'm your cousin. And so, hey, can you send me some money through, you know, whatever app that they prefer? And so I take a look at that sometimes and go, okay, when was the last time I actually talked to my cousin? You know, it's been well over 30 plus years. So I'll play with them and say, hey, well, what were we doing last Christmas? And they'll make up some story. And I'm like, yeah, I got it.
Oh my God, you were there.
Yeah. Yep. Nope.
Well, that and then malware, like from Messenger. Oh my gosh, is this you? Or did you see who died?
Actually, I got that from my uncle. And he start, it's like, oh, hey, how's it going? All right. Hey, how's it going? And I got into this conversation, but you know, it's like, first of all, I started noticing immediately first, nobody contacts you out of the blue like that, but he said a couple of things and it's like, okay. So I started responding and then he started saying, oh, did you notice that Bill Gates is going to give you lots of money if you just follow this? It's like, yeah. And
a lot of misspelling in that conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're not Americans.
I started messing with him. It's like, you're a bot. What do you mean you're a bot? Mm-hmm. What do you mean? It's like you get in a loop because it's a computer. If you're a bot, what do you mean?
So when you start asking questions that only you would know, then they know the gig's up. So
and then they got the same messages to my wife, and it's like, oh geez, her too, huh? And then the other ones I noticed is a lot of people sit there. It's like, oh, I've been hacked. My account's been hacked. Don't accept any more friend requests from me. It's like, no, you've not been hacked. Your account is safe. You've been cloned. Yeah. There is a difference. Cloned means multiple use, and hacked means you are under somebody else's control. And I try to tell them that. Or if they'll say, hey, I got an email saying that my PayPal account is going to be charged this much. And my favorite one is, do you have a PayPal account?
Right.
Well, no. Well, then, no.
Exactly.
All right. We need you to update your
social security financial number has been suspended.
Right.
It's like, really? Okay. Cool.
That's
a first. No taxes. Yeah. It's like, well, we need you to pay us in gift cards. It's like, what? No.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one in a while.
Oh yeah, they've got some good ones out there. I pay attention to all these stuff, and then it's brought to my attention by other people. It's like, hey, does this look accurate? It's like, no, because the IRS doesn't work off of Gmail.
Yeah, exactly.
That is true.
And then it has .uk or something like that at the end. So,
TZ. It's like, yeah, speaking of that, apparently they found a whole room in, I think it was Nigeria, filled with money. It's like that Nigerian prince really didn't need help.
Nobody did cash the check.
I saw that. It was a meme. It's like it was a big old pile of money in some Nigerian apartment. And it's like, apparently that prince that contacted you really did need your help.
Legitimately trying to get rid of this money.
We've got there. Now, there is a process. There is a process for OPSEC. And it's from my training that I remember going through the OPSEC 2 course and all the things that I pay attention to very closely and take notes down on, it's about five steps, five steps for the procedures for OPSEC. We can go through those and see what's going on with some OPSEC, five steps. Now, the first step is to identify the critical information.
Right.
And, but what is critical information?
Right.
Well, I guess that's why you have to identify it. I guess that makes sense.
Right. You know, looking at the information that, why is it important to you, whether it's personal, individually, or organization? I mean, because OPSEC can be applied to your daily life, not necessarily just to what we do for a living and here on Fort Polk, because we like to protect our financial information. We like to protect our personal identifying information, right? So obviously that's important to us. We like to protect our social security cards, our birth certificates, and whatever else. So an individual can look at what they feel is important to them to keep from out of the hands of somebody else because it will cause them harm or financial harm. And you identify those things and then you start to move on through, okay, how do I protect that? And where am I going? You know, what are the next steps?
The other thing is when we do our cyber awareness training, one of the scenarios in there is, hey, I left my badge by my desk. Can you let me in? It's like, what desk do you? And it's like, so what do you do? Do you use your card to give them access and all that stuff? That's part of the critical information is access to buildings.
Exactly.
So you got like, well, 350 is pretty good. They're pretty secure and they've got the people up front and it's like, they don't let you go by unless you have a badge or you get a badge.
During your class, did you get the opportunity to go visit other locations on post and then as a group and have a check? We literally walked into the back of the 24-hour Shopette. It was a group of probably four of us carrying clipboards, and they were taken in stock. So the door was open. So we're like, all right, well, let's just walk in and see what happens. We walked in, and we just kept our noses down to the checkbox, and nobody said nothing to us.
That's one of my things that I didn't know. We did not get to go on any kind of field trip in my class. No, we had to sit there and take notes. But it is something that I tell people a lot is if you want to see how secure someplace is, walk onto a job site with a hard hat and a clipboard.
Exactly.
And nobody will stop you.
Right. And you can have some badge that didn't even belong to them. And as long as you look official, well, people assume.
Look like you know what you're doing.
Right. People assume. And we walked straight in from the back door all the way through the front and then told the manager, hey, nobody stopped us at all.
Nope.
I mean, when you see four groups of soldiers walk into the back stock room of the PX, right? So it was interesting
to see. It was a health inspection.
We did the same thing during the physical security course. Yeah. And then I used to actually be a member of a loss prevention team for a major retail organization. And same. I mean, somebody walked in through automotive. They took a whole bunch of stuff in a buggy. And the people in automotive were so nice. They even held the door open for them to leave.
Oh, how
leave.
Nice.
I know. Wasn't it great?
I need this tire. What? For an inspection? Wait, you know what? I better do quality control and take four of them.
Yes. But being alert, that's a huge thing, is being alert and cognizant of your surroundings and things like that. So that's what you want to look out for.
Right. And another thing, too, I think that just by those examples, people just need to really say something. You know, I know that sometimes people are just timid. They don't want to.
If you see something, say something.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, they don't want to come off mean or whatever. Hey, cover that piece of paper up if you're not going to be.
Yeah, you know, I'm a lot like that. It's like I see things and I want to say something, but at the same time, it's like, I don't want to say anything. But like the other day, I saw somebody wearing a badge in the PX or at the food court. It was actually yesterday, but the badge was flipped upside down, so you couldn't see what it was. And it was just, it's like, well, I'll just let her go with that one.
But see, here's the thing. A lot of times people are afraid to say something when they see something because they may have done it before and someone didn't take them seriously. So the receiver of the information actually needs to take that seriously. So it might be something that they hear, you know, multiple times in a day that may not be a big thing to them. However, they need to make that person that reported it feel like it's something important. Otherwise, you're shutting all future communication down. So you have to leave that line of communication open.
And also, we work in an environment where, and depending on the facility, you have a badge or you don't, that you don't think about it. It's part of your uniform or it's part of just your everyday existence. And forget, you know, we're human. You know, just saying, hey, you probably should put the badge in your pocket. And you're like, oh, yeah, I completely forgot I had it on because I was thinking about something.
Yeah, we have to do that when taking video.
Right.
So it's like, oh, they're wearing their badge. So I either tell them to take it off or I have to blur it out on the video and stuff. And I've done that before.
Right.
But, I mean, they were in the secure area where they were supposed to be wearing their badge. So I blurred it out. But if they're going to do it, it's like, okay. So it's like, okay, check.
So, you know, you never know. It could be something intentional or unintentional, and just having them, just reminding them, hey, you probably shouldn't wear it.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, step two would be analyze the threat. And how do you analyze a threat? I mean,
data, information that you have available to you. Reports is a great example. Police reports often help with assessing threats. Doing research on whatever particular threat is out there as well, using multiple sources of information. You know, go to the MPs or go to your local law enforcement. You know, seek out that information from different sources in order to, you know, determine really what is a threat out there for you.
And what about the vulnerabilities? Because that's step three, is to, once you've analyzed the threats, now you have to analyze the vulnerabilities.
Right.
So where are we vulnerable? Well, access points.
Right. And that's exactly what you're doing. You're looking at those things right there. Or even with a home, I mean, let's bring it back to the person, the individual, not so much the installation, is that you look at, you assess your domain the same way.
Lock your doors.
You're, right. You
lock
look your at windows. Your doors. If your window is broken, you fix it, you know, or you change the lock or something like that.
Put a password on your Wi-Fi.
Right. Because those are vulnerabilities and you don't, and you want your information and your stuff protected.
Now, once you get those, once you've analyzed and once you've identified your information and you've analyzed the threat and you've analyzed your vulnerabilities, now you've got to assess the risks.
Right.
And that would be step four.
Right.
So, now when assessing the risks, you got to, consider the vulnerabilities and assess the impact,
right,
or damage of the critical information,
right,
or
the likelihood of that risk actually, you know, what is the risk if that happens, that vulnerability is not mitigated. So, you know, what are we at risk to lose? Information, movement times,
people.
Yes, exactly, people, because we do have, you know, VIPs that do visit Fort Polk on occasion. And so, you know, what is the risk if that information gets out, or what could it be? So when you assess it that way, then you know what appropriate measures you want to impose on that or mitigate that risk with. So, and that helps you determine how robust are you going to be versus, okay, that's really not too much of a risk. So, you know, that's not the top.
Absolutely. And then once you have all this information, then you just got to apply it.
That's right.
And that's the final step, step five.
And that's what we've been talking about all morning.
Just apply it.
Just getting people out there to just create good habits.
And it's that habit again. See,
right.
I brought it in a circle.
Or routine. You know, routine. What is your routine in the morning? Or what are we doing with the information that we utilize every day on a daily basis? And we have visitors that come in. Well, we turn our monitor off or reduce the window and position that that customer in a such in a manner that they can't see what we're looking at. So there's just different things of taking, knowing when information is sensitive and the risk of it being out there, what are you doing about it, and then implementing that.
I guess I've been paying more attention to it than I thought, because I seem to know more than I thought that I knew.
That's a good thing.
So I just pay attention now, and it's like, okay, well, you watch out for this. What are you doing? You're doing this. It's like,
right. Well, I think it's just so important, because today, now we have access to so much information, and we have the ability to put out information in so many different ways. You know, from the children, I mean, they have all kinds of different ways to communicate, and so you got to just look at that.
Yeah, I want to emphasize that this is not just for military people.
That's correct.
This is for family members, mm-hmm. for civilians, for people that have nothing to do with the military.
Right.
You know, that corporate espionage, and there's always somebody, right, watching, and you don't want to be a hard target. Well, you don't want to be a soft target. That's for sure.
Right.
And which is just, hey, you're in the area and we had the opportunity, and because not everything's going to be a hard target, like a fenced off building,
right,
that's guarded. And information is key. So you want to guard that information.
That's right.
And you want to just pay attention. If you see something, say something.
Right.
Pay attention to what you're saying. You don't want to give away information that can lead to somebody you know or love getting hurt.
Right.
And that is exactly the way to think about it. What you're doing can cause harm. Not just harm for the government, but harm to people.
It could also cost money.
Exactly.
You know, when we talk about that example you gave earlier of troop movements and deployments and things like that, where you're paying thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, to get that movement to happen, and all of a sudden now you have to change that because that information got out there. That costs time, it costs money, and a lot of people, you know.
Well, that is very important. I hope people out there have gotten something out of this, because it's actually is one of my higher priorities in life is safety for my loved ones and my friends right. and everybody I know. And I'd like to thank you both for coming in, Mike and Sherry from DPTMS, OPSEC, yep. OPSEC month, January. And we should be practicing that all year long, not just
Agreed.
Not just during the month. And I would like to thank you all for coming in. Hey, yeah, woo! And if you guys out there have any kind of ideas or if you'd like to ask any questions or anything like that, please leave it in the comments below or you can even email us at the Fort Polk Public Affairs Office. I'm Jeff England, and we will be back again with a brand new episode, and I'll be listening at you later.